Once upon a time, when Queen Elizabeth II's reign was young, a suburban mother had been washing up. Looking down, her engagement ring looked like a smile with the central tooth missing. The stone had gone. She fretted and she searched. She swept to the floor. Could it have gone down the sink with the washing up board? That blue stone always took her back to the joy of her beloved man proposing. Until that precious sapphire was found, everything felt wrong. And the atmosphere crackled with anxiety, with tension. She swept. The dustpan and brush suddenly, after quite some time, produced a flash of blue. There it was. That which was lost, sought and found. There was rejoicing and relief, and a little dance of joy in that small suburban kitchen. And then we might think of that second parable that Jesus told us, that second story about being lost and found. Is that lone sheep special just because it's naughty or lame or lost? What about those 99 sheep, the good sheep perhaps, the well-behaved sheep, looking after themselves and each other? The good shepherd reunites them all. That flock, the woolly community of sheep, is whole again, complete. So maybe there is something in these stories about becoming whole. 200 years before Jesus, the Greeks knew that the whole is more than the sum of its parts. That engagement ring wasn't worth anything until all its elements are reunited. Jesus, seeing a flock of sheep as a community, builds on that idea. All have their place and their significance. There's safety and resilience in numbers because the lone or the lost are vulnerable. They are in danger. And the good shepherd seeks them, nurtures them, and they rejoin their flock with the Saviour's fingerprints all over them. They may be maverick, but they belong. The flock, the community, is not complete without them, without us, perhaps. And there is rejoicing on earth and in heaven when the lost and found are reunited. Parables, as we know, are wisdom stories, which are common in the Middle and Near East. Jesus draws on wisdom from both the head and the heart. Because a parable is never quite what it seems, it feels as if it has a unique meaning for each of us, and it does, something to chew on, to ponder. But they often have a sting in the tale because the joke is often on the powerful or the self-righteous. Here, it's the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, whose culture is based on keeping the rules to stay pure for God. Being ritually clean demands sacrifice, and it seems that they give up freedom and joy to keep the rules. But that can become a straitjacket, because the Pharisees feel they know that you can't preach and party. They know how things ought to be done, and they judge Jesus accordingly. If there is fun and laughter, how can it be right or taken seriously? Jesus and his folk seem to live in joy. Point proved. The life of Jesus' community is not about keeping up appearances, but in growing in love and faithfulness, individually and as a community. Because only together can we become more like the people that God knows that we have the potential to be. In Jesus' time, the Roman Empire tolerated other faiths for the sake of keeping some sort of peace, because it made conquered people easier to govern. The Jews could worship their God, but they had little power or influence. Over the last few days, we've realised perhaps how much we take for granted in the United Kingdom, where the monarch is supreme head of both church and state. In her coronation, the young Queen Elizabeth promised to govern according to pertaining law and custom, and in justice, law and mercy. And also to maintain the law of God and true profession of the gospel. Willing to be anointed with holy oil, her person and reign were privately consecrated in a very public ceremony to God, solemn and sacrificial. And she lived that out with faithful dedication to her people and her God for over 70 years. It's impossibly demanding, of course, to be set apart in that way. There may be money and there may be that unique status, but there's no executive power, really. And it's hard to imagine the personal cost of living that out, of staying true to both of those commissions, both of those vows. So much listening, so much polite conversation, so much diplomacy and patience. Perhaps the only way it is possible is with humility, with love, and the longing to serve God faithfully. People's memories of meeting the Queen centre on them feeling affirmed, feeling seen and heard and not judged, which seems almost impossible, bearing in mind the time management and the protocols. People who've met her have returned to their communities and find that they long to explore new ways of serving them. They don't feel smug because they've met the Queen. Somehow they're reinvigorated. They glimpse how much better things could be. What would it be like if everybody caught that vision? All of us. Because there's energy and there's power and there's blessing in that recommitment. It plays out when they return to their communities. It's not glamour and gold dust. It's real. It's gold. If people who have been invited to meet the Queen at the garden party, or if they've received an honour, and they return to their community settings re-energised and re-inspired, what might that mean for us? Because we meet our King in Eucharist every Sunday. We all need to belong, to be part of a tribe or a flock, and we are often a member of several. We might think of family or church or people who dance or people who sing or whatever it may be. And a community is at its best when it's complete. When everyone in it can flourish individually and together. A flock of sheep is best complete. The family jewellery is useless if it can't remind us of special times and special promises. These things can just carry nostalgia for the past. But if we are to honour the past, they must bring life for the future. How can we be truly God's people, we wonder, if we don't recognise who or what isn't present here? The people, perhaps, or a vision that once was precious to us. What might we have lost sight of? What might its vital place in our community life be? So maybe like the lost sheep, we need to bring those moments of inspiration home, join them up to everything else, and celebrate with the community. Because how much closer to God are we when we can celebrate everyone's gifts and bring them together under the Lord? Amen.